What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 28. In today's podcast, we're actually going to be interviewing a long friend of mine. His name's Mike, and he's a diabetic and had some health issues, and he came to me asking for some help, and he's experienced some great results on a low-carb, high-fat diet. So I wanted him on the podcast because, I mean, he's a articulate guy, smart, knows what he's talking about, and I think he can honestly help a lot of people. I think his message is something people can relate to, and that's important. You know, people need to relate to your story to actually believe it. So he's actually a really good interview, and you'll hear that later on. But first, a little check-in. Tom, how's the week going?
So, as I've talked about before, I'm training for a marathon. So, since the last time we recorded this podcast, I've done two 10-mile runs, two different times. The first time I did a 10-mile run, I, like, barely made that 10 miles. Like, I thought I was going to pass out. Like, that last mile was the hardest mile I've ever ran in my life. A couple hours ago today, I just ran another 10-mile run. Piece of cake. It was a little bit harder than walking to the fridge, but like not that much harder. Like I don't feel like I worked out at all. I'm ready to go on like another 10-mile run tonight. I don't know like what happened between then and now. I think maybe it's just like a mental thing, just the fact that I broke that 10-mile mark. I think 10 miles is probably the longest run I've ever done in my life. So it's just kind of crazy. Like I'm hitting my prime at 30 when I thought I hit it about 17, 18, back when I was like doing cross country and wrestling.
That's a trip, man. The power of food.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then another thing that I'm kind of switching up, well, for the month of December, I went all carnivore. This month, I've been kind of adding some vegetables in here now, but like since we did that whole vegetarian podcast, like a really deep dive at it, I started just thinking like, you know what? We really haven't been eating vegetables for that long. And just seeing how, just like, they're not very nutrient dense either. So I'm just like, why am I really eating them? Like mostly I just eat them because it's a vehicle for fat, just a way to get more butter and maybe some garlic into my body. But you know what also is another way to do that? Mushrooms. And mushrooms have been around on this planet, I think, longer than anything else. So it just seems like a much more natural source. And there's so many more benefits to mushrooms. Most of the medicine that we get from plants, we don't actually get from plants, we get from mushrooms. So they're just so much more nutrient dense and so much beneficial. So yeah, I'm just like, you know what? Meat and mushrooms from now on.
I love that. If you like broccoli, do your thing. But I'm like Mr. Anti-Vegetables. Like, I just don't see a need for it. And so, but mushrooms are completely different. Mushrooms aren't plants. Mushrooms aren't, obviously, they're not animals. They're their own thing.
Yeah, they're fungi. They breathe like we do. So plants breathe in CO2, exhale oxygen. That's why we need to have plants. We shouldn't be cutting down all forests left and right.
Yeah.
But we don't really need to be eating them either. But
exactly.
Yeah, mushrooms breathe in O2 just like we do, and they exhale CO2. So they're not plants. They're their own thing.
Yeah, now you said we haven't been eating vegetables that long. I had a conversation at work the other day with a guy, and he just watched the movie What's the Health, which is that vegan propaganda film on Netflix. And it's trash if you watch it. Actually, just don't watch it. Just trust me. It's complete trash. But he was like, yeah, we've been eating vegetables for a long time. Like, and now they're all sprayed with pesticides. And I was like, but have we been eating vegetables a long time? I was like, when was the last time you drove down the highway and saw a field of broccoli?
I mean, like, the only time you're going to see vegetables is the ones that we're growing. I don't know what a wild broccoli plant looks like.
Yeah.
What wild celery looks like. I don't know. Are those even a thing?
Yeah. I mean, I told him, I was like, back in the day, there was definitely some, like, tubers underground. So think, like, a potato, maybe. But they weren't like the potatoes we have today. They're way more fibrous. They weren't as starchy. And were there some vegetables here and there, some, like, wild vegetables? Sure. 99% of them were poisonous. So, you know, good luck eating them, you know? But it's just the fact that people think vegetables are the healthiest thing on earth, just, it blows my mind.
I'm not really sure how that narrative ever came around either. Because I listened to a podcast that takes a deep dive at like different plants and vegetables, or just different foods in general. And some of the vegetables, like I'm thinking they're going to be traced back like 20,000 years, 30,000 years. It's like, yeah, we've been feeding them to livestock. We started eating them a few hundred years ago, and that was because of a famine. Something along those lines is like how we started eating them is because we didn't have a choice. And now they're the most like nutritious food on the planet. It just doesn't make any just logical sense.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to go back to my logic than the traditional guidelines.
Yeah, you're great. And you were telling me you had a conversation with one of your friends about this, right?
Well, yeah, he brought up a study, and the claim on the study was that these Neanderthals were vegetarians. And I was just like, there's no way that is possible. Like, okay, vegetables, or actually not vegetables, let's just do plants in general. I'll even throw mushrooms into this category to do it. They're only in season a few months out of the year. They're not in season all the time. You throw in the fact that it was an ice age way back then, so they're in season even less time. They don't produce as much food like they do now.
So just like, from a calorie standpoint, there's not enough calories.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
Like, you would come across a blueberry bush, and then that's it. That bush is gone. Like, maybe it lasted a couple weeks, mm-hmm. but it's not going to, like, grow back enough for you to eat it again, like, a week later. Humans are, or even Neanderthals, were social creatures, so there'd be multiple of them living together. It's not like you're just fending for yourself. You're fending for your family, friends, everything. So it just didn't make any logical sense. And maybe they could do that for a period of time, but I don't even think they could do that for 1 year. And then, like, I took a really, like, close look at what the article said, and it said that they couldn't find evidence that they ate meat. Not that they were vegetarians. I'm like, those are two completely different things. And it was just like, you know, it was just a clickbait article.
It was. It was a shit study. I mean, everywhere humans went, because it is true, all of human evolution was in an ice age, but where humans live was near the equator. So the summer months were more temperate. So they did allow some growth of plants, vegetables, and just human existence. It wasn't as cold, but it was still cold as shit. Think of winter all year round, how it is nowadays. So just look outside. What grows in our current winter situations?
I mean, there's
not much.
Yeah, there's very few, like, vegetables and stuff, but we've changed them so much to make them do that.
Exactly. So, and everywhere humans went, going from Africa, expanding out from there, there was mass extinction of all big ruminants. So think like woolly mammoths back in the day. Pretty much we would go somewhere, kill all the large fanny animals, and then move on. I mean, humans are kind of shitty in that sense. Yeah. Like, we just killed everything. Like, it's in our nature.
We're too good of hunters.
We are too good of hunters. And that's because our brains are so big, and our brains require so much energy from a calorie standpoint. The only way we could get it was from having a high-fat, low-carb diet. It's what we had available. It was just a meat-based diet.
Ever seen a giant sloth?
No.
Because we hunted them all. That's why. They're not here anymore.
Those big slow fuckers, we got them all.
If you were big and you were slow, sorry, we killed you and we ate you.
Yeah, like, we showed up with spears and opposable thumbs and just wrecked shit up. Yeah.
So, what's new with you?
What's going on with me? I spent the last week or so kind of dialing in my diet. So, I got asked a few weeks back what, like, my maintenance calories look like. And that's something I've never really thought about because, I mean, you know me, I'm always trying to grow. Like, I'm trying to gain, or I'm trying to cut, or I'm always trying to change something.
Yeah.
I'm rarely the guy who's, like, maintenance for 6 months just to hang out. It's just not in my wheelhouse. It's not what I like to do. But I'm kind of preparing for another cut. So I was like, this all through January, I want to get back to the carnivore plan and just kind of get around my maintenance calories. So I'm down to, well, I guess I'm up to 3 pounds of ground beef a day, 1.5 pounds of cod, and 8 eggs. So that...
I'm trying to think how many... Is that like 6,000 calories?
No, it's a little over... it's like under 35.
I thought the ground beef alone would be about 3,000.
Well, it's 90-10 ground beef. So it's more protein than fat.
Okay.
Yeah, my protein is around 400. The fat's around 200, give or take. And honestly, that's not me eating to satiety. That's not me eating till I feel full. It's just me eating enough to not be super hungry.
So what is that, like 60-40 fat to protein?
It's, yeah, it's like 55-45 okay. protein to fat. It's almost 50-50, pretty much. And yeah, I just, because my wedding anniversary is in February, so I know my wife's going to want to go somewhere in February. So I don't want to start a cut now and then have to ruin it the first week of February. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut again after February. I'm thinking around February 11th, February 12th. And so I just want to maintain this calories until then and then cut down. Because I really don't want to go from like 8,000 to 9,000 calories, which is where I really want to be right now. If I ate till I was full, I would be that high. But that's going to be dramatic as shit. So I want to kind of just ease my way into this cut a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, especially after you did that whole protein sparing modified
fast. Yeah, I was starving.
Was that like 2 months that you did it?
Yeah, it was almost 12 weeks. It was 10 weeks.
Okay, so damn near 3 months.
Damn near 3 months, yeah. So that's good. It is nice to eat again. And, did I tell you? I don't think I told you this. And I'm only eating egg yolks.
Why not the white part?
Did I tell you this? Yeah, okay. So
especially if you're not being that high fat, like, I'm surprised.
Yeah. So though there's a reason to it. So I've always been the type where I can change one variable in my diet and then see if I notice any difference, right? Because I eat the same thing at the same time every day. And so if you think about, we don't recommend seeds to people. Think of seeds like wheat or any sort of nut. Everything's really a seed. Anything we eat, like the grains, we don't recommend to eat, right? Because grains and seeds, they have those anti-nutrients in it, right? What's the closest thing to a seed in the animal kingdom?
I guess it would be an egg.
It would be an egg, right? And so you would assume that an egg would have some inherent capabilities to fight back. Like a plant does. It doesn't have teeth, but it does have ways to defend itself.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do have food allergies to eggs, especially if they have some other issue going on.
100%, so leaky gut, something like that, right? Yeah. So there's two reasons there's particular protease inhibitors in the egg white. One, if the egg grows too large, the chicken's never going to lay the egg. Okay, so there's a limiting factor is there. So there are some protease inhibitors that are like antibacterial, anti-protozoa. They kind of just fight off infections. They fight off germs pretty much that are trying to attack the egg as it's laying there trying to hatch. So half the protein in the egg white, or a little over half, I think it's like 56% for the most part, is albumin. And that's the egg white protein that's prime time. That's the stuff that, if you look at all the studies, egg white protein comes back as like the best stuff on the planet. But the other 40% is a mixture of all these other proteins, very elaborate proteins and plenty other different types of proteins that are protease inhibitors and serve various other roles besides being actual fuel for the chicken to grow. So I was like, you know what? Now, I don't have a problem with eggs. I've had stages in my routine where I've had 36 eggs a day or some shit like that. It was a lot. I think it was 3 dozen. Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot. That's kind of expensive too, especially buying good eggs.
Exactly. So, and I didn't have a problem eating that much. So I don't particularly think I'm sensitive to these other things in the egg yolk, or excuse me, the egg white, but I don't know because I've never cut them out. So it's just as I'm doing this little maintenance phase, I was like, let me just cut this out and see if I notice anything. And so that's why I'm only doing the egg yolks.
So is this going to be like an elimination and then you're going to reintroduce it?
And see how it goes.
Okay.
Exactly. So I'm doing that. I'm going to do that through January. And then in February, I'll just start eating eggs again or egg whites again and see how that goes. And another reason, I wouldn't recommend this to anybody else damn near, because people need as much protein as they can get. I'm sitting around 400 a day. I'm good losing like 10 to 15 grams from the egg white. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I already have enough. So that's what's going on with that.
That's just so funny that you're taking out the egg white. Like, that just throw, that's like just the complete backwards of the whole bodybuilding.
I throw
community.
Away the white, I know.
But if you told that to some like bodybuilder, he would just like laugh in your face. Like, you were the dumbest person on the planet.
Yeah. It's funny though. I actually don't have a problem throwing away the white. It is funny though, because it's the exact opposite. But if I ever throw away yolks like I did back in the day, like, that hurts my heart. Because it's so nutritious. You know what I mean? Yeah. So all that good stuff right there in that yolk. I'm also still reading that book, Tripping Over the Truth, and, well, actually, I'm listening to Tripping Over the Truth on Audible, like, when I drive, and I'm reading the Power, Sex, and Suicide book still, and honestly, the Power, Sex, and Suicide book is a little much, honestly. I haven't been able to get into it. I'm, like, 200 pages in, and it's still talking about, like, why eukaryotic cells are complex, and
is this a textbook?
Oh, fuck, man. It might as well be.
I mean, you're 200 pages in, and like, how many more pages are there?
I think it's like 500 pages. It's a long book. Yeah, so, and the thing is, where I come from, like, my point of view, I do all this, like, health-related stuff mainly for gains, right? Like, I come from a point where I want to look good, I want to feel good, and I want to be strong. I want to support my workouts, and that led me down this health route, and it's definitely, you know, the scope has expanded over the years to various conditions and ailments people have. But do I give a shit if the eukaryotic cell is complex?
I don't even remember the difference between eukaryotes and prokaryotes.
Prokaryote, yeah.
I'm surprised I even remember that.
Yeah, that was good. Strictly, it's a presence of a nucleus. But it's, again, that's like layman's terms. This goes into really what the difference is. And I'm like, I'm reading this book and I'm like, man, I don't give a shit. You know? So I'm having a hard time with it. But the Tripping Over the Truth is great. That one's an awesome book. I can't recommend it enough, especially if you have any interest in cancer or if anyone in your life is experiencing cancer at the moment, read that. It offers some good advice, but it's also very frustrating. It's just, I think I talked about last week how no one knows Otto Warburg and all that shit. So I'm still experiencing that frustration, and I don't know. It's hard.
Do any other names come up besides Otto Warburg?
Yeah, there's a lineage. This guy named Peterson. Otto Warburg he was like the OG, like we said, the Warburg effect, where a cell will ferment glucose even in the presence of oxygen, which, if you know anything about metabolism, that's a major change. There's no reason to ferment glucose in the presence of oxygen, because fermenting glucose is so inefficient. Like, oxidative phosphorylation, what occurs in the mitochondria in the presence of oxygen is, God, I don't know, 6 times, 7 times more efficient in producing ATP.
Isn't it like 30 times or like 20 times? Like,
oh no, yeah, it's 2-fructoglycolysis. Yeah, it's crazy more efficient. Yeah. It is. I was thinking 6-fructoglycolysis, but just 6-carbon sugar. Yeah, so it's 2-fructoglycolysis. But I don't know. Warburg had this, and he had a lineage of like pretty much one guy who kept this thought alive, the metabolic theory of cancer, and then now he's had a few disciples.
Okay.
And now we know about
Thomas Seyfried.
What's the other guy's last name?
D'Agostino.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones. Those are the two main ones that I know about.
That we know about, yeah. So there's people talking about that now, but people still are fighting this narrative. People are still going through this whole cancer is genetic. Even though if you sample, liver cancer, one cell will have one set of mutations, and then the next cell completely next to it will have a completely different set of mutations. How is that even possible? Like, once people figured this out, that every cell has a different set of mutations, we should have stopped. Like, okay, we're looking in the wrong area. We're spending hundreds and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars researching the wrong thing. We're researching a symptom. How are we ever going to cure it if we're not researching the right thing?
It's just so upsetting. I mean, honestly,
this is my life. I'm pissed every day now.
And it's just crazy. Like, often the simplest solution is the right one. And the Warburg effect is a pretty simple solution.
It's in every cancer cell. It's like the root cause.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. He didn't know like exactly what happened, because he just didn't have the technology to get deep into the mitochondria. The mitochondria are tiny, but now we do know. And it's just people still aren't really listening.
And honestly, like, you don't really need to know all that much. As long as you figure out, hey, this is your fuel source, just get rid of the fuel source. Like, it's just kind of, it seems really simple.
Yes, that's very true. Exactly. It's sad nowadays. People are scared to kind of, I don't know, it's just like that clear logical thinking they just can't do. You're really good at that. But people want you to say like, oh, but what's really going on? It's like, bitch, you don't know anyways. You know what I mean? You're too ignorant to even ask the right questions.
Like, the way I look at it is, like, maybe we have 10% of the human body figured out. Maybe. So even if you're the smartest person, you know, like, 9% of it. You don't know that much. So just apply just common sense and just logic to it. It's like, hey, does it make sense? Okay, it doesn't make sense. And why are we even putting this much effort into it?
Yeah, it's like your friend sending you the article on all ancient humans were vegetarians. Just put logic to that, and you don't need to even open up that link.
Yeah, okay, they could be vegetarians if they were allowed to eat eggs and fish.
Yeah, if they live near an ocean, yeah. So.
Or if they were able to grow to 400 pounds and could fast a very long time, but if you got that fat, you would get hunted down and you would get killed. A wolf would love a sub-fat person for dinner.
Exactly, that's food for a month. Yeah. But, yeah, that's all that's going on with me. The same old stuff, honestly. And just the more I know, the more I get pissed about everything. It's sad. It makes me sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I was actually talking to my sister about it. Everywhere I look, every rock I just, like, look under, something shady is going on. How sad is that? Like, anywhere some industry is making money, if you really look into it and you're like, you just kind of peel that curtain back, what's back there is shady business and lies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really sad, but it's the world we live in.
Yeah, and I come off like the crazy guy.
Yeah, I know. I come across as a crazy person,
too. You do, too.
I try not to, but it's just hard not to sometimes.
It is, man. It sucks. But yeah, I guess now we can transition to the Mike interview. So I've known him a long time, about 10 years. Great guy. Like I said in the intro, suffering from diabetes and finally decided to take his health into his own hands, and me and him have put together a great little meal plan for him. He started off low carb, high fat. Now he's damn near carnivore, eating, I would say, over 80% of his calories come from meat, and he's experiencing some great results. So here's his interview. Listen and hope you guys learn something. Mike, thank you for joining us on the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So when did your like first health complications begin?
So I got diagnosed with diabetes back in like 2000, 2005. And it was just, I didn't know, you know, diabetes ran in my family, but I didn't think I was that type of candidate because I was always pretty active, did sports all my life. And, you know, I had gained weight, you know, after being married, and I ended up getting like the flu, which turned into like pneumonia, which then they were able to be like, whoa, your sugar numbers are like 400 and something. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, I mean, I was all the way up to like, they thought I should have been dead. So from there, you know, they tried to put me on this, you know, put me on pills. They wanted to do shots and, you know, do all of that to try to get it in control. But it was always just a problem with that. No matter, I felt like no matter what I did, nothing was ever really getting better. So
it wasn't the, like, you felt bad, you went in, you got sick, and then they picked up that you were diabetic.
Yes, correct.
So what kind of, like, diet and, like, lifestyle were you doing? Were you exercising at the time, that type of thing?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, my, what I do is, you know, for my job, I walk quite a bit, and then, I'm pretty active. We were always playing, like, basketball. I coached basketball at the time, and so I was always active with the kids, and that's year-round. We played volleyball on the weekends, and so it was we were always doing something, you know. But like I said, I had put on weight, and I knew I had put on weight, and, you know, and I was always like, okay, I got to drop some weight. But even with that, it just seemed like no matter how much I did, you know, weight was never really coming off. It was just everybody always just told me, oh, well, you're just eating too much. That's what all the doctors used to tell me. You just eat too much. And so even then, when they tried to put me on, like, eating plan and go see a nutritionist and do all of that, you know, because they wanted to get my blood sugars under control, no matter what I did, it was never good enough.
So they just put you on the typical low fat, high carbohydrate type of diet?
Yeah, it was, you know, basically it was like, yeah, here's this diet plan, and, you know, they gave me the whole pamphlet thing and follow this the way it is. And so, so I would do it. And every time I go back, the doctor would be like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to have to probably change your meds because you're not reacting to it like you should. And I would tell them, like, but wait, I'm eating better. You know, I'm eating better. And so they'd be like, no, you're not eating better. And I was telling them, look, I would write down everything I would write. Like, you know, okay, for breakfast, I would have one hard-boiled egg and a half a piece of toast and a fruit cup or something, you know. That's what they would tell me, like, this is your meal in the morning. For lunch, a half a sandwich, you know, a salad. And so I would eat it. But no matter what my meal plan was, my numbers never came down. I stayed in, like, the probably 240s, 280s forever. And every time I checked my sugars, I mean, I was checking my sugars three times a day, you know, and it still was always high. And I was so frustrated. Like, these guys are just killing me. That's how I felt. Like, they were killing me.
And they didn't believe you, right?
No. Every time I go back and tell them, hey, no, look, this is what I ate, the doctor would be like, no, you're eating too much. There's something. And I'm like, dude, this is what I'm bringing my book. This is my meal. This is exactly what I had. I had no cheats, no sways, no nothing. This is exactly what I ate. And he would just be like, well, let's give you this other medication. There was a point I would go to the doctor and he would change my medication like every other week. And I'm like, how do you even know whether the results are even working if you're changing it every other week? I mean, he went from long-lasting 24-hour insulin shots to dailies to, you know, one in the morning, one at night. And I just got tired of just constantly pricking myself with needles all the time. And I finally at the point when I saw that no matter what I ate, my numbers would never be better. I told myself, like, I can eat my normal meals and keep these numbers and be happier than torturing myself, because that's just how I felt. And so I finally just stopped going to him and said, I'm not coming back, because no matter what I shared with him, he didn't believe anything I was telling him. And I said, I'm not doing this no more.
That's upsetting. That's
so frustrating.
Yeah. Were you given any options? Do you ever say, like, hey, maybe you should try this or this? Or did you just say, this
you're wrong, you're lying.
You're wrong, this is what you got to do. Like, did you ever have any, like, other treatment type of options?
No, all they kept saying is you need to lose weight. And I said, I get that. But he never introduced like a workout plan. He never gave me anything to go and say, hey, this is the way that you're going to lose weight, you know, with this meal plan. There was nothing ever connected. It was always just here, take this shot and it's going to take away your hunger. And so I would take that shot and it would just make me sick. I mean, there was a point I was literally just throwing up and I would tell him like, hey, something's wrong with this shot. It's making me sick. I'm reacting really bad. I mean, I felt like I had the flu every day. And I would tell him and he would be like, no, that's not what it does to you. So when I did my own research, because I got frustrated, I started doing my own research, like, this is exactly what this shot says it'll do to people. If you react bad to it, you will be sick constantly. And so I told him, hey, this is making me sick. No, that's not that one. Let's give you another one. But there was never any ideas as how to change your eating plan, how to change, you know, how to do a workout schedule, nothing connected to any of that. It was just medication. Oh, no, you're eating too much. You're lying to me here. So, you know, this is why your numbers are staying high. But like I said, no matter what I did that he told me, my numbers never changed. They stayed the same. I felt like he was just giving me more meds to be able to do that. And that's what I've shared with Tyson in the past. Every time I look on TV, oh, there's a new medication for diabetes. Like, there's so many new medications for diabetes. You would think that this whole world would be perfect for people with diabetic, but it's not. You know, it's just more and more stuff that people are taking and they believe what they're seeing here, and it's just not true.
It's not true. What happened? Because you really got sick. That's what really made you kind of start listening to me. Like, your eyes, you started having issues, right?
Yeah, so my vision, when I went to my eye doctor, because you're supposed to, with diabetes, you're supposed to have a yearly eye exam to make sure that, you know, your vision is not going bad. And when I had gone on to see him, he had told me that I had some bleeding in the back of my retina. And so they sent me to a specialist, and I went to him, and he was like, oh, yeah, there's definitely some bleeding back there. We got to take a look at it. If this continues, you know, you can go blind. And so I was like, oh, man, this is some serious stuff. And so he did some lasering on it to try to get it to subside. And then I started eating differently. Tyson had recommended, like, dude, let's change your diet plan. And I was like, you know, I've listened to all these doctors. I've listened to the nutritionists. I've listened to all these people. And no matter what I did, according to them, it was never helping me. And so I was like, you know, I've tried all kinds of different things. You see all these, you know, I looked in the weightlifting magazines and all these supplements, do this, do that. It's going to help you do this with it. And so I've tried so many different things and I said, nothing's working. Let me try what Tyson's trying to tell me. And so I went on this fat adapted diet and I started doing it and I was following it and I started noticing I was losing weight. And then when I had gone to the doctors, it had been about 6 months, he had told me, he was like, hey, you know, your eyes look really good. And so I was like, oh, okay. You know, just thinking like, oh yeah, they got better because of the laser treatment. But after a year, you know, I was seeing him for over a year. He had told me, Mr. Panetta, he said, your vision is restored back to normal. He's like, and you have no more bleeding in your eyes. Everything looks good. He's like, whatever you've been doing, I would say continue to do it. And I believe that that's
boom, true. Boom, bitches. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I believe that's truly just because of the diet plan. The, you know, and I wasn't doing anything, you know, no big major workouts, no nothing. Just trying to focus on my health. Just trying to get it better.
Man, it's just so upsetting just like how compliant you were with all the doctor's advice. And they kept blaming you instead of themselves for giving you that bad advice.
They don't know that about him. Like, if you tell Mike to do something, for the most part, he'll give you, like, a solid 95%. Like, he'll stick to this shit.
You're reading in journals. I don't know, like, what more evidence.
He's obviously the type of guy who will follow shit.
Yeah, know? I mean, that's very, very rare that people are, documenting what they're doing like that. That's really good that you were doing all that. I mean, it's just sad that you were just getting such horrible advice for so long. So what was Tyson's diet plan? How was that different than what you were getting from your doctors before?
So, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, it was basically eat lean chicken. All my portions were cut in half, you know, but, you know, they would have me eat, like, grains and cereals, a bran muffin, and all the stuff that is not, you know, on the fat-adapted diet. And so when that's what the doctors were telling me. Now, when I ate with Tyson, he was like, oh, yeah, have some bacon and eggs. And I looked at him at first, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you want me to eat bacon and eggs? Like, all the stuff these people tell you, you should not be eating. And so he was like, trust me, just do it. And that's what I would eat every day. I would just have some hard-boiled eggs. I mean, up to, you know, times I would eat, like, 5 hard-boiled eggs and a couple slices of bacon. And that's what I did for the longest time until he says, dude, you can eat other stuff, other meat, pork chops, hamburger meat, you can eat steak meat, you know. And so I was like, really? And I'm thinking, like, wait, these guys have me eating lean chicken and, you know, just a salad, you know, don't eat anything more than that, have fruits and vegetables. And so it was, to me, it was like, that's a win for me. I want to eat meat. I want to eat stuff that is good. And so that's what I did. And what a difference. I mean, when I started checking my sugars after being on the diet for the longest time, you know, after a few months, I noticed my sugars were starting to drop down. I was like down into the 180s, no longer the 280s. And I was like, hold up here. How's my sugars dropping down? And they're more balanced. They're not jumping all over the place. You know, and that was the biggest thing. And I could feel it in my body. Sometimes, you know, with diabetes, when you know your sugars are high, you feel sluggish. You feel tired. I mean, there was a point where at the time when I was done working, I would come home, I'd be falling asleep at the wheel because I'm just, my body was just like at the high level of sugars from whatever bad stuff I was eating. And now, like when I'm right now, even especially right now, I have more energy just from eating the way that I've been following the plan. I don't have those moments of where I feel like I'm crashing or that I'm tired or something like that. Sometimes people tell me I have too much energy, like you need to calm down today because you have too much energy. And so, but I think it's great. And like I said, I realize the difference in the feeling of how the body is because I've experienced both sides, and I would never want to go back to that other side of just being poked and prodded with needles all the time because it never fixed. My father has diabetes too, and he's on so much insulin all the time, and I've been trying to tell him, I share with him all the time, like, hey, we got to stop having you take that stuff. It's not good for your body. And my dad's pretty active. I mean, he's 70-something years old, and he still hits the gym. You know, he works out every day. He goes on walks. And he has the same frustrations I have, and I've been trying to share with him. And so, to me, I feel like, let me show him the example of how I can get my body down by doing it this way and not doing it the way these doctors keep trying to tell him.
You know, all three of us can relate to that because my dad has cancer, and he doesn't listen to me. And I told him a million times, you know, don't do this. Tom's dad.
Yeah, my dad has cancer. I was just over at his house, just there last night, talking to him about it some more, trying to convince him to do it. I just decided I'm just going to start going over there almost every day now and just, like, kind of force it on him.
Just, you can't give him a choice.
So either he's going to kick me out of the house or he's going to adapt one or the other, see what happens. But it's just crazy. Like, so you started eating food that tasted better. You lost a bunch of weight and had more energy. Like, it just seems, it's just crazy, like, how good food tastes good and is good for us. It's not all that complicated.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm glad I wanted to bring you on, mainly exactly what you said a few minutes ago, that you tried to follow the doctor's advice, it didn't work, and you're like, well, screw it, I'm just going to eat the food I like if it doesn't work anyways.
Yes.
I bet people can relate to that.
Yeah, and that's the most frustrating thing. You think, you know, in our minds, we would think that, okay, hey, here's a physician. This is his specialty. You know, diabetes is a specialty. And you believe in him because he's got this MD after his name, that he's going to be able to make sure that you live healthier, you know, your life becomes better. But for me, it was only going in the opposite direction. You know, like when I say I literally felt like I was dying, that's how I literally felt. being sick all the time from taking these injections was not, I couldn't do anything. My family would want to go out and do some stuff, and I'd be like, I don't think I can do it. I don't feel good, you know? And I hated that. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy keeps telling me it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But then he would switch the medicine. It was always like something new. And that was the most frustrating piece. And I'm thinking, like, I'm believing in somebody to help me. And I said, skip it. I got to figure out how to help myself, you know? And so, again, like when you, Tyson, shared with me, like, hey, look, start doing it this way and let's just see how it goes. I mean, that was the biggest change for me, because once I got my body in the line on how the fat adapted started working with me, I could feel the difference. And I wasn't feeling sick anymore. I wasn't tired anymore. That it's just such a big change. You know, I just think of it like we get caught up so much just watching all this stuff on TV and listening to what all these doctors say, when they're not truly doing their part as far as research of what is really changing. Now, my very first physician, when I first got diagnosed with diabetes, when I was seeing him, he wasn't like these other doctors that I've seen. He was more like, hey, we got to keep an open mind. Diabetes is different for everybody. You know, he wasn't looking at just the numbers. He was looking at how my life was and how my body was. And so he wasn't saying, hey, yeah, only eat like this. But he ended up moving, and I couldn't see him anymore. And so I got these other quacks, and it was hell for me.
Straight up. I mean, honestly, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but straight up, these doctors, when it comes to a lot of these conditions, like, I genuinely feel like I know how to cure people, or at least, like, alleviate these symptoms more than they do, even though I don't have MD under my name. But what I do all day is the research. I have the time and the passion to do it, and these doctors don't. They see 100 patients a day for 3 minutes time. They don't have time for that shit, you know?
Yeah, so, that's true.
It's called practicing medicine for a reason, because they really just don't know.
They're guessing.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, like, people were smoking cigarettes during doctor's visits. Like, that happened, you know, like, within our parents' lifetimes. And who do the doctors that we're seeing now learn from? The doctors that were smoking cigarettes in, you know, the hospital room.
Right.
People just put way too much blind faith in doctors. Like, yeah, they do know a lot. They are really smart. But they're just people. They're not gods. They don't know that much more than everybody else. Everybody's got a body. You can tell if you're healthy or not based off the way you feel.
Yeah, that MD shit doesn't impress me. It really doesn't. I know a bunch of idiots who cheated off me in college who went to med school. Straight up. You know what I mean? Like, straight up. I know what it takes to get to med school. It ain't that hard.
Yeah, and you're cramming up so much knowledge right before the test. Like, you're going to forget that stuff 2 weeks, probably not even that fast, probably like 2 days after the test. So you're not like you're really retaining all that knowledge.
Yeah.
Unless you're really passionate about it and, you know, studying that stuff all the time. I don't know. It's just a shame just like how backwards it is. Like, we've come really far when it comes to like infectious diseases. We've like basically destroyed all of those. But these chronic diseases, we just keep trying the same treatment over and over again. It doesn't seem to be working for anybody.
Yeah.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah. So the low carb, high fat, which we have you on now, like you're damn near carnivore with us. Like, you eat meat every day, all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people still look at you crazy. I know they do.
Yes.
But we are getting some converts. People are starting to notice.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like right now, you know, since I've dropped more weight, you know, people notice like, oh, you know, Micah, you're getting really skinny. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, what are you eating? I'm like, oh, just meat. And they're like, they look at me like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, no, seriously, that's what I eat. And so, and when they see me, if I go to the cafeteria, you know, most of the time I'll try to bring something to eat, but if they see me there, and I'll just load up on just meat. If it's like an asada day or something, just load up on meat. And they're like, you gonna eat anything with that? Nah, just this is good, you know? And so, but I've noticed like with that stuff, so when you eat right, when you eat according to how the meal plan is, you don't find yourself ever being hungry. And, you know, and that's like the biggest thing. My biggest thing back in the day was I was a snacker. Like, I would just want a snack all the time. And now that if I eat my meals like I normally do, and normally I don't eat until noon, and then I won't eat again until like 6 o'clock at night. you know, people always say, well, you should have three meals a day. That's not true because I'm never hungry in the morning. And so
Hold on a second. Yeah. Does Mike kind of sound like me a little bit? Yeah. I'm telling you, he is like a sponge. He really picks up on this stuff, and I really appreciate it, man. He's like my best, like, I guess, like, spokesman. Because he's way more articulate than me. I really think you are. Like, he's better at talking to people than I am.
So, oh, we haven't said anything during this interview.
Yeah, he's so good at it. So I'm just super happy he actually listens to what I say. Thank God.
Yeah. Once you have, like, that setting where you're just feeling, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm perfect because I, you know, I have my flaws with it too. And I'm a pretty social person. And so I'll go out and I'll have, you know, some drinks and stuff. And I know Tyson always tells me, like, stop drinking, but you know, it's just a part of me. And so, but I know how to, like, keep myself, bring myself back. If I know, like, hey, maybe I need to do a fast to get out of my system, something that probably wasn't good for me, I can do that. And I still feel really good with it. But when I'm eating normal, like, I don't have those cravings at night when I'm just sitting there watching TV, like, oh, let me go get some chips. I just don't have that. And it's such a good feeling to be able to have, because at work, I never think about food. I just don't, you know, it's just everyday life going about it. But I have so much energy to be able to do things. And that's just really the greatest thing about it.
Boom. Energy, freedom from your food cravings. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're preaching.
Yeah, I love that feeling. That's the best feeling in the world, is just, like, not being hungry, like, not letting my day revolve around food. Like, I dictate when I want to eat. Like, that's such a great feeling.
It is. It really is a good feeling.
Yeah, because you ever realize, like, some people will be like, oh, you guys want to go get something to eat? And you're thinking to yourself, like, why? Like, where does that come up from? You know, I'm about to go on vacation with some of my family, my cousins, and that's the first thing they always ask, like, where should we eat? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm thinking, what should we go do?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm never thinking about where should we go eat. But that's the difference in the lifestyle. Is people, you know, they plan on that stuff. Like, what should they feed themselves? Because they're thinking about it. But to me, I'm thinking, what fun thing can I go do? Because that's what I'm going to want to experience. You know, it's such a difference.
It is. It's a life changer. It truly is. And I remember, I mean, you were, I guess, to cut it back a little bit, one of the first people that actually listened to me. And I understand it's hard. You know, your friends, say, like, you became a cop one day and you pulled me over. I'd be like, Mike, bro, back off. Don't give me the ticket. Kick rocks. I wouldn't look at you like a cop. I'd look at you like Mike. You know what I mean? Right. So even though I went through this journey and I did accumulate a lot of knowledge, people still look at me like Tyson. You know what I mean? Like friends and family. So I really appreciate you actually listening to me. And I remember that day you called me saying, hey, like, my vision's fine. They actually said I'm 20/20.
Yeah.
Like, what I felt, because I was worried, because I was like, shit, man, I hope I'm on something.
Yeah.
And because he is, like, kind of like my guinea pig, no offense. But
well, you're your own guinea pig.
I am.
If it worked for you.
That's true. I do tell him that. Everything I recommend for him, I do on myself first. But it came back. I call him Mr. 20/20. Like, it's just, it's a great feeling to know that you're in control of your health and your life, and now you don't need to go to a doctor anymore. Like, you got this shit done, figured out, you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't been to a doctor for anything in a while. And like I said, I just haven't felt that I've needed to. You know what I mean? Most people feel like, oh, I should probably go get some blood work done or this and that. And even though you've asked me to get some blood work done, but that's only to monitor the levels, you know, of where we're at, to see where we're at. And I feel so good. I think that's just the difference from what I used to feel. And you know how, you know, it's like you guys said, you know your own body. Tom had said it, like, you know your body, you know what you go through, you know how you're feeling. And when you go try to explain that to physicians and they don't understand, like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm thinking to myself, like, this is my body. I know what I'm feeling. What somebody else may feel is totally different.
The best biomarker is how you feel. I don't care if my cholesterol is 250 and you say it needs to be under 200. I feel great. I have more energy than whatever else I've done in my life. Like, what I'm doing right now is working.
Yeah, for somebody else to say you're not healthy when you feel better than you've ever felt, and all these other just great biomarkers that you can go off of, more energy, you're not eating all the time, you've lost a bunch of weight, your vision's coming back. Like, those are pretty good signs doing the right thing.
Exactly, exactly.
That's great that you made so much progress. I mean, it sounded like you were getting pretty bad with a lot of those issues. A lot of those issues people don't come back from. They just keep getting worse.
That's the sad thing. You know how many mics there are out there? Oh, there's fucking millions. And they don't have people like us in their lives like, hey, man, let's do this. They just keep listening to the doctors. And they're the ones who get their foot cut off. They're the ones who get their legs cut off. That's sad.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I wanted to, like, when you had asked me to do the podcast, I was like, you know, I want people to be able to hear it. Like, I'm a real person. I've experienced it. You know, I've gone through it. And I hope that they hear it and listen and say, hey, you know what? Wow, that's a big change. Because it is. I mean, when I did let you know, like, my vision was back, for me to hear that from that doc, I was like, wow, that's a big, big difference. Because I remember, like, seeing the pictures of the bleeding in my eyes, and I was like, oh, shit, am I going to lose my eyesight? I mean, I was telling my kids, like, yo, dad might be going blind. And, you know, it was a scary feeling. And then now, every time I go in for my checkup, he's like, everything looks great. Keep it on up. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. You know, that's when I know, like, oh, my sugars are intact. And, you know, I won't check my sugars regularly now, but when I do check them, I'm down to like 140, you know, which is normal for me. And you ask any other doctor, they'll be like, oh, that's kind of high. But if I ask my original diabetic doctor, he would be like, that's perfect, man. That's like prime. So, you know, it's just so different. And I know the difference. I know when I have eaten wrong, my body feels it. Like, nope, that's not, you shouldn't have any of that. So, I mean, it's just the knowledge that I have now lets me understand what I should and should not have, you know. And if I know I do have something that's wrong, I know how to get my body back into, let's get this out of my system and then move forward.
And if people think 140 is high, what was the highest blood sugar you ever had?
It was like 608 or something like that.
That's
like,
hell of high.
That's hella high. Like, no, they said, like, you should have been dead.
Yes, like, that's like dead.
Yes.
So yeah. Don't come at me with this, oh, 140 is still high. Slow your roll, right, bro. He was at 600, all right?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah, so, no, you're doing great, man. I'm really proud of you. I appreciate the work you do for me, like, you know, on the down low, just spreading the word. Like, I know you do, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you made all this progress and turned your life around for the better. I just have one other question. Sure. When you're going seeing the doctors all the time, like, were you ever given any information, like, other than some pamphlets? Were they ever, like, telling you, hey, you know, this is, like, a book you should check out. Here's some, like, videos you should check out. Or was it just, like, a little, small little pamphlet?
No, it was always just a little pamphlet. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't even a pamphlet about diabetes. It was just, like, what the medication was. You know, which the pharmacist gives you anyway, but there was never any educational piece about it. I mean, they would always tell you like, oh, there's a class that you can go to. Okay. And I've been to that class. And even in that class, they don't tell you, things to start doing to be able to help yourself. It's just about your diet and, you should have exercise. Well, okay. What exercise? Like what is exercise to you? They never expounded on what exercise is. It's just, you need to exercise. Does that mean walking? Does that mean running? Does that mean lifting weights? Does that mean, you know, I should go do yoga? What is exercise? But they don't ever share that information with you. It's just eat this and have some exercise. Those are what those classes consisted of. It was never, hey, you should read this from this physician or read this from this writer about the study of that. Or they never gave you any of that type of educational piece. It's just what they think, and that's how you should do it.
Hey, hold on. Who did tell you to do those things? Who did give you some information to read and books and shit?
You did.
This guy. Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to spread some knowledge around here, man. That's what it takes. You have to know these things to actually believe it. And you know so much more today than you did prior.
Yeah, I mean, I went and got that book, and I started reading it. And even though, like, a lot of it is what you've already shared with me, but just to be able to see the background of what they're really talking about in these books, and then to be able to share, you know, to share more information on, you know, like, oh, wow, I never realized that. Oh, I never realized that. And, you know, which was a good thing. And, but you've always shared with me that, hey, you know, I may share something with you, but I'm glad you go and look more into it, because you know, I'll always want to do my own research, and I do that now because of what I experienced from those shitty doctors. You know, like, I got to protect myself, so I got to look into it. But every time you have shared with me, you've always given me something like a section to read about, this is why you're telling me this. You know, you've always backed it up with something that had the knowledge of where it's coming from. It's not just coming from your lips, some random thought you had. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's been what you've already researched and you've learned, and now you're passing on that knowledge so that we understand it. And that's why I truly appreciate you and understand, because it's not just you're not just making me feel better, you're not just making me look better, you're helping my mind to get more educated on the lifestyle of living better. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just wondering how many other people are out there that wish that they would get some information. Like, hey, you know, you just gave me a diagnosis of a chronic disease that I'm going to have for the rest of my life, according to you. Can you, like, recommend that I, like, read some stuff, or do I just take your word for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. But, you know, the thing is that people just get so complacent and just listening to whatever somebody tells them. Like I said, because they say, oh, it's a doctor, they're telling me this, they just accept it. And I guess the message is for people out there, like, yes, you have a physician, and yes, you may go to somebody, but you got to look into some things for yourself, because not everything that they recommend is good for you. You know what I mean? So if you're not taking care of you, yourself, and trying to get the education and knowledge for yourself, you might as well just go ahead and roll over and die, because that's going to end up what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, and I always say the death from a diabetic person, that shit's not fun. That's one toe at a time type of death.
Yep. I mean, that was my aunt. My aunt lost her toes, you know, and, you know, she suffered. I mean, it was suffering for her, you know, and it's just, it's a sad thing.
So do you have any, like, takeaway messages, any advice for our listeners that it might be going through something similar to your situation?
I would just say, you know, for people who do truly want a life change experience, they got to get on board with this new meal plan and just take it one day at a time. You know, a lot of people think like, oh, well, I could never probably do that. I used to say that to myself. That's so tough. That's so hard. But again, working alongside with Ty's help, as far as, you know, he knows that I'm not perfect when I eat. For the most part, I am. But he knows, like, when I haven't. And I'm honest with him, and I say, oh, yeah, you know, I had this piece of chocolate over here or something, and he'll be like, bro. I'll be like, I know, I get it. But, you know, I just tell myself the change in the way I feel about my life is so much better now than where I was. And people have to truly want to be able to have that experience of a change. Our lives get so busy, and we just get caught up with just an everyday type of thing. You got to be able to take a minute to stop and say, hey, what am I going to do for myself? What matters most to me? You know, and if they start thinking like, hey, my family matters to me, I want to be around so that I can see what my kids grow up to be and how their lives are and their families, I want to be around for that. And so that's what matters to me. And people have to be able to say, I want that too. My life, Tyson knows my weight goals, where I want to get to. I'm trying to get down to 190. This morning I was 203, and so, you know, and I'm on path. And does it have to be, you know, immediate weight loss? A lot of people want the next day type of thing, but you know what, like I said, my health is so much better now. I look better now, and I'll get to my goal. It just may take me a little longer than where I'm at, but I feel that much better, and that's what people got to be able to understand. Getting their lives together as far as wanting to be healthier to be able to get to the goals that they may want for their weight.
Boom. That was well said.
Yeah, I love that. Focus on that progress, not perfection. And yes. Then, yeah, discovering a why, figuring out why you're going to do this, thinking about the big picture. And that really helps you to stay motivated, stay on track.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for coming on and delivering this very inspiring, just great message.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you, bud. Have a good day, okay?
All right, you as well. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, take care.
So Mike's advice was so great. You know, I'm not even going to try to follow that with a tip of the week because it's just going to fail in comparison to that. So let's just move on to the close.
Yeah, so that was episode 28. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com, all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on iTunes and SoundCloud. And officially starting today, we're on Google Play. So if you have an Android device, you can find us there as well.
Yeah, and if you know somebody that has an Android device, download it for them. Just make it so they have them. Please rate and subscribe. We love all the comments, all the ratings. That's how new people come and find us. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.